Session number 28500, reel 17.
And did you ever see any of these prisoners of war in this area?
Oh yes, because we always tried when we took prisoners to try and get as much information as we could from them, so that we got some idea of the units and where they were going and what they were trying to do. And it did help. It did help.
And did you ever speak to any of them? Could you speak German?
Oh yes, well I could only speak a little bit of German, but just enough to find out as much as we could about them. But we always had somebody, an interpreter of some kind, who could help to keep that going.
Mm-hmm. And another thing I was wondering about as well, on these roads that you were travelling, was there any refugees or locals or villagers or anything like that, or was it just armies?
Well, there was, depending on in townships and villages and that, where the Germans broke through while they were going on, they always left a debris of villagers and people moving around. But we always tried to keep them off the road so we could get forward, and we managed to do that. But you did get problems in fighting in villages, you know, and clearing the Germans out at the other end. But that was the only time we were held up, actually. Actual fighting in the villages.
And were the roads quite good then, or were you going through the villages quite a lot?
Oh, yes. But the roads were good. They were good. And we were able to push forward as fast as we possibly could. Yeah.
Okay. And so were you actually in Florence? Did you actually get in?
Yes. Uh-huh. We went straight into Florence, across the river, and one of the bridges, and straight into Florence. And we stayed the first night in the town hall, so huge place. And there was no soldiers all sleeping, you know, in a great big hall, and resting there, and pushing on as hard as we could out of Florence. But the Germans didn't stay in Florence; they got out. So we knew they were making for the hills.
And the soldiers, were they just sleeping on the floor?
Oh, just sleeping on the floor, yes. Yeah,
did they have a blanket or anything?
Oh, they might have a blanket, a ground sheet, but it was on the floor, yeah.
Is that where you slept as
yes,
well?
Yes, oh yes. Well, there's no beds or anything, unless you happen to be in a hotel or a place that had been taken over, but normally it was sleeping on the floor.
And how were you by then? You know, I could imagine that you might have felt, I don't mean scruffy, I don't mean that, but was your clothes dirty in that by then? Or
oh, yeah, well, that was one of the problems, of course, when you're moving like that continuously. It's an awful job keeping laundry right and washing and so forth. And that was a problem, but we tried to sort that out as we went along by having maybe a break of 3 or 4 days so that they could get a bath. And what we used to do, I know it's a bit rough, but where there was a stream, the bath people would come, set up showers, and we'd go down, strip, go at one end complete naked, all the clothes off, through, get your shower, and then get dried, and then at the other end, the quartermaster was waiting with fresh clothes for you. So that was all the way to get, and that was always a blessing, you know, getting a change of clothing. Yes.
It must have felt like a luxury.
It was. Even to get into that bottom and get that cold water, it was good.
I could imagine. And was it the summertime that you were there?
Yes, mostly summer month, because it was June when we left Rome, July, August into September, and then from then onwards onto the hills, onto the Gothic line.
And was it ever too hot? You know, was it ever?
Oh yes, some days it was very, very hot. Right.
Okay, and you were injured up near the Gothic climb, were you?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
I was injured there. We just started in the Gothic line actually when I was hit and pulled out, and they had to go back to the base hospital. I was there for a while and then rejoined again, but. I got back pretty quickly, yeah.
And was the base hospital far from where you were actually injured?
Oh yes, it was a good distance away, yes. Although in Florence they set up civilian hospitals, so therefore we were able to get attention pretty quickly there, once we got into Florence. But then after that, of course, it was the hill country, and You had to be brought back. There was no way you could get detention up in the hills. You had to get taken back quickly to the nearest base.
Mm-hmm. And were you taken back by transport?
Yes, I was taken back by ambulance, and then by train, and finished the journey out with train in the hospital, and went out. Once I was clear again, got back by train up into the north and joined again. I wasn't away very long, 2 or 3 weeks, and I was back in the battalion again.
And when you say that you were taking part of the journey by train, were you on a stretcher or anything at that point?
Somewhere. I was able to sit in the carriage, so I didn't need a stretcher. But some of them had pretty bad injuries, you know. They were on stretchers, some in the corridors, and some on the seats. But so very well done. The medical services were very good. They were good, yep.
And was it a Red Cross train or was it just a normal train?
No, it was a normal train, yep.
And do you remember where about the hospital was?
Oh, it went back from Florence, right back to, oh my goodness, oh, I've just forgotten the name now. It was a monastery, and this about 12 miles north of Casino, so we're back in Casino again. But we got out pretty quickly and got back up by train, back up to Florence again. We're all right. Yeah.
And was it a British, had the British taken it over as a hospital, or was it still
yes.
Italian?
No, it was the British. The whole monastery was taken over. Right.
And were you in a big ward or anything?
Yes, it was quite big wards actually. Mm-hmm.
Was it a nice place, you know, if it was a monastery, was it?
Oh, it was very drab, you know, but at least it was clean, and the medical service was good. It was the British doctors and nurses, and it was good, yeah.
Okay. Now, you were telling me before we started recording as well that you got better and then you wanted to rejoin the battalion, did you?
Yes. The better I got out of the hospital and got back to the battalion. That was all right. We got back safely and carried on again in the Gothic line, because we were still in the Gothic line, and that went on for a few months, of course, and we got pretty far north from Florence, right up into the hills. And then we managed to push on into the area facing Bologna. And I remember the first day I saw Bologna through the mist, early morning. The mist cleared, and I could see the white walls of Bologna itself. That was the only time we saw it.
Had you heard about it before?
Oh, I heard about it before, you see, and we knew the Germans were concentrating in the Bologna area for the next battle. But we were pulled out of the line at that stage. So that brief moment that I saw Bologna was the only time that I saw it.
Okay. Now, you were telling me as well about how you got back to the battalion.
Yes.
So will you tell me, now that we've got the recorder on, how you actually did manage to get back to the...
Back to the battalion from the hospital. That was the same as getting back... by road or by rail, whatever's to be the quickest way. And they didn't worry about you as long as you knew that you were going to go back quickly. So we got back, got train so far, and then we got transport and military transport to take us up into just north of Florence. So we start again in the Gothic line. And finished there till we saw Bologna, and then we were pulled back, and we were taken out of the hills, but we were shoved to the west to help the Americans in the American sector, and that wasn't good. It was bad because the Americans were getting a pretty rough time there. That's why we got it probably a bit easier where we were, because the Americans were getting the brunt of the battles, and we were there about 3 weeks with the Americans, and then we were pulled out to Perugia, and from Perugia by train right down to Taranto again in the south, and cross over the sea to Haifa in Palestine. So we were now finished with Italy and into Palestine.
Okay. And when you were going back, you know, coming away from the hospital, was it easy enough to get trains and military transport?
Well, yes. Well, the good thing was there was so much movement of troops that you could always get transport of some kind. No matter which unit it was, I mean, you'd get a lift here, a lift there, to where they were going. And it was amazing how you could move quickly, you know, in that respect, because there was so much transport moving at the time. Yeah.
And did the authorities still know where your battalion were? You know, did they still have, you know, things moving about so much, did they have a rough idea, like where the Gordons were?
Yes, well, you knew it. You had a rough idea where they would actually be at the time. Yes, you did. And it was always quite easy to find out if you know in a town or that. If you went to the town headquarters, and the town major, whoever it was, could always be able to direct you to where the nearest way and the best way to get the battalion from there, because they knew where they were roughly. Yeah.
And did you need passes or anything, you know, to travel about? Did you need any authorization, you know, to say that you were away to rejoin your battalion or anything?
No, sometimes you got a chit, you know, which helped, but they didn't worry much about that. Especially if you're an officer, you've got a lot of leeway in that respect, you know, because they expected you to get back as soon as you possibly could. Yeah.
Did you get any extra privileges because you were an officer?
No, not really. The question of getting leave, it was all part and parcel of the makeup of the unit at the time, and it depended entirely on what actions were taking place. And you never got a chance to get leave of that until the unit had pulled back from its area. And that's when you were able to maybe pull back for a week or 4 or 5 days. And that was the time you got to get a bath and get fixed again, ready to move on to the next one. Again, that was the quartermaster's headache too, you see, having to provide uniforms and the underclothes and the towels and all sorts of things to get everybody washed in that few days. So it was some job. But the British Army was good that way. The quarters side of it, the quartermaster side, was pretty good there, under the circumstances.
For that few days that you were maybe being pulled back here so you could get this all sorted up again, did you get any chance of any relaxation, you know?
Well, yes, well, there was always a... films. There's always a cinema somewhere. An army cinema, outdoor, so you could go and watch a film like that if you wanted to. But I think most of you are tired and you didn't want to. You'd rather go and sleep rather than watch films. But there's films there too for you, yes, if you wanted to.
What about any concert parties or anything? You know how, I think I've seen that maybe like Vera Lynn went and sang to the troops or anything.
Oh,
did
yes.
You ever get anything like that?
Yes, we did. We got the odd concert where somebody came from home and they sang or did something, but not very often, you know, not very often. Because once you were in the middle of the fighting and the fighting areas, there wasn't much of that. It was only when you got back into a quiet area and the whole unit was out, then that was it. When you get the chance of being able to see a film or a concert or something, yes.
Okay. And how much, well, I've got two questions here to ask you. One of them as well was, how much did you know about what else was going on in the war? You know, you've mentioned that it was June, part of the time you were in Italy. Did
yeah.
you know about the D-Day landings and things? Did you know they were?
No, we didn't. We knew there was something happening, but we didn't know exactly what was happening, no. We knew that. And you also knew too when units were taken away, and you could try and find out where were they going, but it was very difficult to find out where they were going. Nobody seemed to know, no. But everything was kept very quiet, of course.
But once the D-Day landings had occurred, you know, and the forces were starting to move through, did you start to get news of it then?
Oh yes, about or about a week or 10 days after D-Day that we began, that we first heard that something had happened, you know. But we were never quite sure just exactly what had taken place. No.
Okay. Were you getting any news? You know, was there like a daily newspaper or anything? Or?
No, there was a newsletter came out from time to time, but it was usually pretty late. You know, things already happened in the past, but that time you got it. But gradually, as the time wore on, of course, we got more news, and we were able to pick it up on the radio to get the news on the radio what was happening. But of course, it was always pretty limited.
Is there like a British Army radio station or something?
Yes, sorry.
Okay. Now, you mentioned as well when you were trying to get back to the battalion that you actually saw the bombing of the casino, did you?
Yes. That was on the... Was it the 18th, I think it was, the day that the casino was bombed. It was just pure luck that we landed there, but then we came to a full stop because the damage had been done with the bombing. The roads were all blocked and we couldn't get forward on the road. But once they cleared got the bulldozers in and cleared the roads, we set off again in American transport. And we only went about 10 miles or so when we had to hop against the Germans again. And we were held up for a few days before they were moved back. But it was quite funny, actually. But the transport, the American trucks, and huge trucks, and all mostly native drivers, black drivers, you know, they were wild, wild drivers. And every mile you went on the road, you know, down looking down the car, you see a truck away down, you know, going over the side. So it wasn't a very happy experience. In the American transport, no. We tried to avoid the Americans as much as we could. Oh, yes.
I was thinking you might have had more luxuries in American transport.
The Americans, of course, had a tremendous amount of food and rusts, and the waste was tremendous. I mean, I don't feel ashamed, but if we knew that the Americans were leaving a certain day, they would go in there and would ransack the rations, you know, that was left, the amount of stuff that was left, thrown aside, you know, and it was dreadful that, because you could never get enough, you know, but the Americans had tremendous supplies, awful waste.
And so did you actually see the bombing, you know, did you see the bombing?
Oh yes, uh-huh. Saw it, and it was pretty horrific, but I didn't think for a minute that the roads would be blocked, but of course the whole thing, the village of Casino was completely flattened, and of course all the streets and the roads and that were blocked up, but eventually got it clear, but moving again on the main, because only one road you see to Rome, just the one.
Okay, so you got back to your battalion.
Yep.
Do you remember where about they were at that point?
Oh my! What was the name of the place again? It was back at the dog company, and I've just forgotten the name now. The place where we finally caught up with Major Wilson of Dog Company and back. But we got there, and then the battalion moved, and we moved with them out. And that was up to the American side, which I mentioned. I forget the name of that place, no, it's a small place.
It doesn't matter. Did you say Dog Company?
Dog Company, aye. Major Williamson, he came from Aberdeen. Dog Company, yeah.
Actual dogs, do you?
Well, D for dog.
Oh.
D Company, yeah.
D Company, okay.
C Company was Charlie Company, B Company was Baker Company, and A Company was Able Company. That was what was used in the transmissions on the net. Right.
Okay. And was that the company you'd been with before?
I'd been with them before, yes. So I landed with that, and then and moved out with Dog Company. And we moved back with Dog Company too, and landed in Haifa with Dog Company.
Okay, and you were rising through the. What do you say about officers? Is it still the ranks? It's not the ranks that they go through, is it? But you were, by the time you got to Palestine, you were a captain, weren't you?
Yes, yes.
And what was happening, you know, to be given promotion like that, were you having to do anything special, or was it?
Well, you had to take command of a company, you see. Once you got command of a company, then that was always helpful to for promotion. And when I left Dog Company in Palestine, I took over command of C Company, Charlie Company. So I was given my majority then. and then the following year, by that time, lots of changes had taken place. And I became half colonel, lieutenant colonel, commanding the 6th Battalion. And that was in Palestine. I had to take the battalion down to Egypt, to Cairo, where we disbanded them by the end of November 1946. But before that time, of course, we had already gone through Lebanon and over the hills into Syria, down into Damascus, where we were a while, and then came back to Palestine again before we went down to Egypt. But that was the finish of the 6th Battalion. Sad, very sad indeed.
Okay, and you know, when you were getting promotion as well, was there anything special happening each time you were getting promotion, or were you just getting told maybe like one week and it was happening the next or something?
Well, we were very lucky with my CEO, Michael De Bully, came from Forest, well known family in Forest, and he was very good, especially to us younger ones, you know. And when I was given command of C Company, the normal thing was that when you took over command of a company, you'd go to the company and the company piper would be there, and when you arrived he would play the company tune and that was it. But he wasn't pleased with that. What he did was he went and got hold of the pipe major and said, look, I want the whole pipe band to be at C Company to welcome Major McCarthy into the company. So when I arrived there, there was a whole pipe band were there, and it was much appreciated. It was a nice way of doing things, rather than just the one piping you in. He had the whole lot there, so that was that. And the same thing happened when I was made the commanding officer. They had a great special party on a Sunday. Of course, things had quieted down by that time, and we were getting sorted out. And he said to me, have you ever met your namesake of the C4th Islanders? I said, no, I haven't. He said, well, he's up in the Palestine at the moment at the Staff College. I will get in touch with him and bring him down, and we'll meet you next Sunday in the mess. So next Sunday came, my band was all lined up and everything ready, and in walked this very tall officer. This is William McCarthy from the C4th, and he met William McCarthy from the Gordon. So it was things like that, you know. It was really good. I mean, it was really good. It was so nice meeting him, and I met him long afterwards. And he lived in Barclay, so I've seen him quite often. But he's terribly crippled now compared to then. But it was so nice meeting him, and that shows you the commanding officers were good in that respect, because it was so nice to meet your brother officer you never met before. We'd heard of Willie McCarthy of the C4th and Willie McCarthy of the Gordons, and here we were all together on that Sunday. So that was wonderful.
Did it seem strange meeting someone with the same name?
Oh yes, it was. And with him being so tall, you know, I was so much small. But it was quite funny. Yeah. That was happy moments, you see, and kind of thing you never forgot. No.
And when you were in Italy and you were about to get moved to Palestine, did that come as a surprise?
Yes, it did, because we weren't quite sure what was happening at that time, and nobody seemed to know where we were going or what we were doing. And when we were pulled out from the American sector, we just thought, oh well, we'll get a couple of weeks rest probably, and then back in the fighting again. No, no, it had been, we're on our way to Palestine.
And how were they actually moving you about in Italy? Was it by road or was it by rail?
By road and by rail, yes. By road to Perugia, and then by train all the way from Perugia right down to Taranto in the very south.
And did it seem strange going back down there?
Oh, it did, yes, it was. Couldn't believe it, you know. You began to think, you began to wonder, is it actually happening? But it wasn't. Of course, the farther south the train went, well, we felt sure, but we weren't quite sure where we were going. And that was the trouble. It was only when we arrived in Taranto that we were told that we were going to Palestine. That was the whole division was brought out, you see. One day was taken out completely. Because we'd suffered a lot of casualties, of course, and we were quite tired, you know, after all the fighting and that going on, we were quite tired. But it was so nice to get back to a quieter situation. And then, of course, they landed amongst the terrorists and the fighting in Palestine, and they went to cope with that. But we managed.
And this area of Italy that you were going into, that you've been in before, you know, I think you've been in this area before, haven't you?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And was it changing any? Was there any difference in that relatively short period of time? Was it getting back to normal now? Or?
It was getting easier. Yes, it was. It was getting easier. But we didn't have the Germans to fight. See, it was just the squabbles that was going on between the terrorist groups and that were in Palestine at the time.
Okay, but the area in Italy, you know, where was it Taranto you'd been before?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Was it getting back more to normal by
then? Yes, it was pretty quiet, of course. It didn't suffer in the war at all, other than on the seafront when we bombed the ships, the German ships in the harbour, the Italian ships in the harbour. But that was the only time. But it was so quiet then, but it was funny to come back to Palestine to peace and quietness. Couldn't believe it.
And how did you get across there? Was there military ferries or something?
No, it was one of the ships, passenger ship, that took us from Taranto to Haifa. And then we had to take a train journey from Haifa right down to Gaza. And Gaza, of course, is a place that's in the news just now. Well, we were there for a few months in Gaza, a training camp. And then we moved to various places in Palestine.
Okay.
In Lebanon, Syria, back to Palestine again, and then taking the battalion down to Cairo for disbandment.
Okay. Okay, part three, and you know, you've travelled now across to Palestine. And what was your first impressions of Palestine, do you remember?
Yes. It was very hot. And very quiet. So, we began to wonder what had we come to here. And but the weather was so good, so warm, pleasant. And of course, it did a lot of good, because after Italy, not being able to get sunshine or that, and be able to get baths, showers, and the warm weather, it was really good. You know, you felt so much better. Right?
And that was, you landed there in January 1945?
45, yeah.
Uh-huh. And had there been much in the news or anything about Palestine at that point?
No, it was quite quiet at that time, but after we had landed and settled in, then things began to stir up a bit in Europe. And that's what caused the problem, of course, in Palestine.
Okay. And when you first arrived there, was it in Haifa? When you first arrived in Palestine?
Haifa.
Haifa, sorry. Haifa. Is that a built-up area? Was it a city or something?
Oh, well, it's a port. It was a Palestinian port. And quite a fair town, size of a town. Yes, right on the seafront. Mm-hmm.
And was it quite modern, or was it?
Oh yes, it was modern bits too. And our military had a staff college there at Haifa. Yes.
And did you stop there for any length of time?
No, we moved straight on to down to Gaza. and that was right into the desert. Of course,